And thank you once again for tuning in to Cinema Central. I'm your host, as always, DJ Ace, and you should have saw this coming because my last episode illustrated I took a deep dive into the MCU, so obviously I saw Avengers Infinity War, but this movie is so big that I decided I couldn't talk about it by myself, so I invited my old friend Matt.
Hey, hey, hey.
And that's Matt.
I'm Matt. What's up, guys?
Yeah, so he's here, and we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War. Full disclosure, we are doing all the spoilers. Every spoiler imaginable, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if you have not seen this movie, then turn back now, come back later, and listen to our antics.
It's almost been a week, so you should have seen it by now. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's the highest grossing opening weekend of all time, so either you did see it and you contributed, or you haven't seen it and you've been living under a rock. One of the two.
Or both. You know, I don't know.
Or both. Yeah.
I guess you could live under a rock and still see it, but just be like, I don't know, just completely irrelevant, like just not paying attention in the theater and be like, oh, I missed everything. I need to go see it again. Don't spoil it. Like, that's.
Yeah, I actually already saw it twice. So
I'm seeing it a second time on IMAX next week.
I was just like, ridiculous that way. I'm probably going to see it a third time, to be honest.
Well, you should. It's.
So, yeah, Avengers Infinity War is obviously a big deal. Avengers 3, technically, and is directed by the Russo brothers and is like the capstone of the MCU because it's like the 10-year anniversary since we started in 2008, and it is definitely worth the wait.
Yeah, I just got to really applaud these guys for really bringing in an entire, you know, all-star cast of actors that all worked together really well. They acted as if they're on a team, not trying to outcompete each other, you know, with acting. It's, you know, competitive, but they're all on the same page. We all need to make a great film, coherent movie. It's well balanced with a proper story. With the action, of course, it's more action based, but we got some really good character interaction, which I think is what really made this movie special.
Exactly. So let's talk about the opening. So the end, the post credit scene for Thor Ragnarok. They are on the Asgard refugee ship, and we see this much bigger ship appear. At the time, I think we were all 99.9% sure that it was Thanos' ship. And so this movie picks up right at that scene because it is Thanos' ship.
Yeah, and you called it. You were like, before the movie started, you said it's gonna take place right at Thor's ship and Thanos' ship meeting. And
yeah.
Utter destruction.
So, yeah, and, you know, we also were saying that the beginning of this film had to establish Thanos as a villain worth worrying about.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that anything on, you know, any news network like BBC didn't spoil Loki's death for me, but I did see some title, like a video title, and I was very upset where it said, Tom Hiddleston, what it was like playing Loki. And this came out before the actual release of the film. And it's like, why did you? That's so, that's foreshadowing quite a bit there.
But I stayed off the socials till I saw this movie as soon as it premiered.
I was so brave that I stayed on. And, but I enjoyed
backfired.
It. Yeah, I still enjoyed
still
it.
Still enjoy it. So, yeah, a lot of things happen in this opening scene. We meet Thanos for the first time, we meet his children, the Black Order, for the first time, all very sinister people. And you just kind of feel sorry for the Asgardians because they went through all of that nonsense.
Yeah,
Ragnarok, and then Thanos goes and kills half of them, including my favorite BA in the MCU, Heimdall.
I know.
So Idris Elba plays Heimdall, and he finally bit the bullet. Looking back through all these movies, like the one thing he always had going for him is he always had one incredibly BA moment.
Yeah.
And so he did it for me one more time.
He did.
And there's two really interesting connections here in this opening scene. Loki goes, talking to Thanos, he's like, we have a Hulk.
Which is a
direct quote of Tony Stark in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
And then the Hulk comes at Thanos, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
And then Thanos beats him into the ground without using the Power Stone.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, shoot.
I love that everybody in this movie, I know I'm being general, but I'm still so used to being general about this movie because it's so, you know, such a massive accomplishment. But I love how I'll get right to the point. Loki, I'm glad that, like, we get to see him develop. he's been in how many MCU movies now? Like six?
A lot.
Yeah, he's I remember done a lot. Four, five, six.
Yeah.
He's and he, we've seen him really grow as a character, not just as a villain, but also as Thor's brother, and like an anti-hero, and also a conflicted person who's trying to do what's best for him, but also trying to, at the end of the day, help Thor and also kind of call back the Avengers. And it's kind of gave me chills.
So yeah, he obviously stole the Tesseract from the vault before Asgard blew up, and so that's why Thanos was there to begin with. Thor's like, you really are the worst.
But then
he saves Thor's life, and then he flips it around and he tries to kill Thanos, and then Thanos snaps his neck, which was kind of horrifying. Because before this, Loki was like the perennial like Marvel villain, and then Thanos comes in and is like, nope.
Which I'm not like from like a storytelling perspective, I think it was very smart. Of course, it was brutal, but I think this is the movie that I've been waiting for 6 years, because I've been like, what are the stakes here? No one's dying. Nobody's getting really injured. We saw a little bit of that change with Civil War. People got really injured and paralyzed. So this one really, it showed how brutal Thanos is by killing the main villain of the MCU up until this point.
So, yeah, he beats the Hulk into there, and the Hulk kind of has his character development, which we'll get into further, but basically, the Hulk, he spent the last 2 years beating every person he's fought on Sakaar, and then he just gets beaten to the ground, and then Heimdall has his BA moment, and this is another vague connection to the first Avengers. In the first Avengers, Thor gets to Earth, and Loki mentions this line about using dark magic to get there because the Bifrost has been destroyed in the first Thor. So you see Heimdall saying, let me use the dark magic one more time, and that's how he channels the Hulk back to Earth. So that was that loose end all cleared up, which is awesome. And then Thanos blows up the ship and he leaves.
See, what you just told me is so, it's like it's such a complex little thing.
Yeah.
Part of the entire MCU. It's like you don't first viewing or like a casual viewer like myself going into it the first time, I have not had the same like viewing experience as Aaron, who did, you know, the past 18 movies.
Yeah.
Like I have not had that experience yet. I want to, but I have not been able to catch those little things.
And it was an undertaking.
But yeah, I applaud you for that.
Which you can listen to. It's 2 hours long on my previous episode.
And I listened to it the other day, but I'm just going to say, like, those little details make this movie so interesting and so much more exciting. It's about those little details that I think make it very
and,
human.
And it's really, I don't know. It's a plus and a negative, because if you've been following these movies for the past 10 years, this movie really pays off, because they don't need to spend time building up any of these other characters, because they've been doing it for the last 10 years. So if you've been doing it, that's great. But if you're coming into this without watching anything else, you're just like, who are these people and why do I care?
I actually saw, that's true. But like, I saw a review, just like the headline the other day, that said, this movie is so underdeveloped. And of course, it was on Twitter, so everybody quoted it saying, James Gunn quoted it saying, season 8 of Game of Thrones is completely strange because none of the characters have any development. They are just completely, it was just kind of like he was making a connection saying like, this is almost like a continuation. It's like you have to start from episode 1. That's like a TV show at this point, because there's so many. So you can't
and it's
really
never been done before.
Exactly. So so this in a way, it's like a TV show in that you have to keep building. You can't discredit this film, which is like the climax of the MCU, and say none of these characters have any development. There's nothing, no stakes or any kind of prior engagement, because there is. There are 18 other movies that so integral to this movie. It's like you said, it's something that's never been done before. I think that's really an interesting experience with a awesome audience last Thursday.
The energy was wild. I'm starting to recognize some of these people. It's kind of funny. I keep going to these first shows, and I'm like, I think I'd recognize at least some of you.
It's like a culture thing. Like, I know we're kind of getting off the point, but it's just kind of, it was an experience, and this was like an event. This
Absolutely.
I think that's something that you have to go see. Like, for these opening shows, you have to go see and experience everybody else, how they react, how you react, and just contribute to just the gasping and laughing and all that kind of stuff. It's just really cool.
So just my last point for the intro is that there are two key characters that did not show up.
Yes.
And that was Valkyrie and Korg. We have no idea where they are, but I can only hope that they're still alive somewhere.
They've got to be, right?
So hopefully. Moving on, Hulk crash lands in the Sanctum Sanatorium or whatever it's called in New York. And that shot is actually stolen from the comic. Originally, it was the Silver Surfer that crash lands and into the same building, and Doctor Strange finds him. He's like, Thanos is coming. So they use the Hulk in that role in that same shot.
We don't need you, Fox.
Which was kind of cool. So anyway, and shortly after that, Doctor Strange goes and grabs Tony, and then we immediately start having an ego off.
Yes. It's the best thing. It's
awesome. Just Tony and Doctor Strange is like...
Yeah, the two Sherlocks of the world.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So that was fun, and then that happens, and then they immediately encounter the Black Order, who've been sent to Earth by Thanos, and things kind of go sideways.
I think even before we get to that confrontation, I think it's important to notice how these characters, like you said, how they really interact, and also how the directors and the writers really got to the point. This is what's happening. These are the stakes.
Yeah.
This is urgent. This is not like anything that was pre-planned. This is a time for desperation. We need to get these guys, keep these evil guys off the planet. Tony, I know that you're engaged. You're getting married.
Which happened in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right, exactly. And, like, congratulations and yada, yada, yada. It was nice to have a little update with Pepper Potts and everything. Then all of a sudden having a wizard come in and say, hey, we need you. This is urgent.
Yeah.
And then not trying to jump too far ahead, but of course then seeing how Pepper reacts to Tony being blasted into space, it's like that's a really personal touch, I think, to continue a story arc that started in 2008.
And then on top of everything, this is the first time in 2 years Banner's been back on Earth.
Oh, yeah,
And he's just scared out of his mind because he's the only one who actually comprehends what's going on.
Yeah, And he's like... Wait, the Avengers are non-existent anymore?
Yeah.
Like, that must have been, like, the biggest nightmare to that guy.
Yeah.
He just crash lands after seeing Asgard be torn to pieces just to come back to see the Avengers just, ceasing to exist. So, anyway, back to the villains coming down. What are their names again?
I don't remember their names.
Squidward guys.
Squidward's like the Ebony Maw, whatever that means.
So they come down. Awesome confrontation. Tony's like, hey.
Earth is closed today.
Earth is closed today. Turn around. We're not in the mood for this. We're not prepared for any of this kind of stuff. Please turn around. And then... I like how these villains are kind of like, no, we're staying. We're getting what we need. They're not doing like the elaborate speech or anything. Like, I'm glad that we didn't need that in this movie.
Yeah. I don't know. The Maw did do a little bit of talking. But...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of like a Mouth of Sauron kind of character.
That's true.
You know?
You know, the CGI on these villains was like so good in this movie.
I mean, the budget on this movie was nuts.
So. It was, but like it definitely paid off. More than the mustache Photoshop and BV. Man of Steel, Jesus. That Justice League movie that we don't talk about.
Yeah. Like, I saw Ziploc commercials advertising Avengers. Ziploc.
Yeah.
It's completely insane.
Don't they always say like most of your money has to go towards marketing and music, which I don't know how that really correlated to this movie because it just seemed like everything was on 100%.
Yeah. So the Marvel movies are kind of notorious for just like big, bold location text.
Yeah.
And what I really appreciate is when we got to Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just like space.
Yeah.
And then they come in singing the Rubber Band Man and just like, yeah, boy.
I think we all knew before we even got a close up on the ship. We're like, oh, we heard the music, really good music that James Gunn actually did pick out. He confirmed it.
Nice.
Once we heard that, the crowd and the theater started cheering, like, yes, here we go. Fun. Yeah.
And they go pick up Thor.
Or more like they scoop him up.
They scoop him, and, yeah, and they wake him up and whatnot. And let's just be honest, Drax's comedy was on point.
It really was. That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody backed down from their moments in this movie. This movie was full of great moments. All these characters really, like, really meshed together so well.
Yeah. And so just those interactions. When Drax is like, "No, Quill, you're a dude.
Yeah, this is a man."
And then you're just like, "Yes." And
then Gamora, when she goes
she's
over,
like feeling his muscles.
And then you have Star-Lord being like, really uncomfortable here. Don't do that.
And like Rock is like telling him he's fat.
Yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, I've been working out." Didn't he say something about like he's been working out or something?
He's like, "All right, I'm going to commit. I'll get a Bowflex."
That's it. Yeah.
Which, do they even make those anymore?
I don't know. I loved when Thor was talking to Gamora and kind of hitting on her, saying, "Yeah, my family's dead." Then Peter Quill's like, "Yeah, well, mine is too." And just trying to act all cool. And then, of course, he lowers his voice to make it sound Asgardian. This is my regular voice. Don't mock me.
Yeah. And so then Groot, Rocket, and Thor go off on a side quest.
Mm-hmm.
Back on Earth, though, we get some payoff on that whole Vision and Scarlet Witch relationship.
Yeah, we do. We do.
So they're like... Because they're on opposite sides of the law at this point.
Yeah.
And so they're just like stealing a moment in Scotland, and then wham!
Yeah.
Black Order shows up.
Yeah. It does. These guys do not give a crap. They do not care about any kind of elaborate waiting or anything. They're just so ruthless. Yeah. I love it.
But what I love about this scene, one thing I will say about Vision, I felt like he was a little underplayed because he's like this super powerful dude.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
And then he just like gets stabbed once, and then he's like, darn.
I'm not trying to say that if I was Vision, I'd be better in that situation, but I will say, the audience does expect Vision, the guy, like the prime target, to be a little more defensive of himself. This is not the last time that he acts that defenseless, because towards the end when he's out in Wakanda, he's just thrown around like crazy and just doesn't put up any defense. I'm like, dude, are you doing this on purpose?
I know.
And
right?
Maybe he was. We just don't know about it. Maybe Doctor Strange knows something.
I mean,
he does
mention that the weapon kept him from phasing, which it would be a big problem for him.
Okay.
But yeah, so whatever. But what I love about the Scotland scene is you see the silhouette behind the train, and then the Avengers theme kicks in, and
everybody,
Captain, Widow, Falcon, and they all show up and they save them, which is awesome. And then they go back to the Avengers HQ, and we see Rhodey talking to Ross.
Yeah,
and then Ross is all like, "Arrest them," and he's like, "Nah."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Well, that's a court martial." Like the dude who, like the military dude, like that's been his entire life. He's just so fed up with all the political nonsense and the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah.
He just throws that in the can because there's a world killer out there.
Yeah. I think it makes you kind of think, makes you reflect on the Civil War and all these internal struggles you can have, and like saying, well, this is such a small incident. And yes, like there's a world killer out there. It's a little more important than disagreeing with some accords
or
something.
It was just a good feel. It was a good feel moment.
Yeah.
And then one thing, I mean, you know, this movie is almost 3 hours long, so you can't get to everything. One thing I felt they could have played off a little better is Banner and Widow seeing each other again.
Yeah.
They just kind of went, "Oh, hey," and that was it.
They definitely looked excited to see each other, but there was no time expand. I'm sure that we'll get more in Avengers 4, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we can hope. I mean,
earlier, Spider-Man, Tony, and Doctor Strange get sucked up into space. And,
The Iron
Spider suit showed up, which was awesome. which I really enjoyed.
Me too.
And the rest of the Guardians go after Thanos on Nowhere, where the Collector is.
Was.
That's when Thanos, like, just unleashes the Reality Stone.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he lets Gamora kill him, and then she starts crying, and you're just like, why is she crying? And it's just him testing her. And I think he's doing that on purpose because of something else that happens in the film.
Yeah, and looking back makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And wow. Then when he uses the reality stone on Drax and Mantis, I thought they were dead.
Me too. I was like, oh, that's it.
I was like, oh, darn.
But then you have to think about, but James Gunn's writing number 3, so probably not officially. But
it was still shocking.
No, yeah. I was like, ooh.
It was actually a throwback to the comic. He did that same thing to 2 other heroes in the comic book. So
really?
That was something else. They just like a little nugget. They put it in there.
It's good.
A little nugget. And so, yeah. And then he nabs Gamora, and then Gamora told Star-Lord to shoot her if that happened.
Yep. Yep.
I love it when he's talking to Thanos. He's just like, oh, he's like, oh, the boyfriend. He's like, I'm not just a boyfriend. I like to think more of myself as a Thanos killing booty call or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blow off your whatever face, you know?
And then he shoots out bubbles.
Yeah, and he used so the fact that he committed to shooting Gamora says a lot.
Yeah,
but then
it does.
The fact that he just turned it into bubbles was kind of sad.
Yeah.
And then Thanos runs off with Gamora.
That was, looking back, that's like so tragic for Peter and Gamora because they, I didn't realize, I downplayed going into this movie, like the Guardians' role in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out being so important, very integral to the rest of it, and really, really heartbreaking, as we can get to later. But
yeah. And then, we did see the Collector, but it was just a reality stone nonsense. So it's safe to say the Collector is more than likely dead this time for real.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't really do a lot anyway, so
didn't really care about him.
And then, so he steals Gamora because she knows where the Soul Stone is, was the big question going in this film. Where's the Soul Stone?
Yeah. And man, we got it.
He found out that he had Nebula. He captured Nebula because, you know, she said in the Guardians 2, she was going to go kill him. And he mentions she got really close, but she didn't succeed. And then she's like literally floating there, and he's like literally tearing her apart. And it's really kind of horrifying.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then so he uses that against Gamora to tell him where the stone was. And they go to the planet, and boom, Red Skull.
Wow. I know, that was so wicked.
It was, but I've been saying it for years that he only got sucked up into space by the Tesseract. I've said it for years, man. So yeah, Red Skull comes out of nowhere. And what's funny is they did not get Hugo Weaving back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And they got this other guy that does impersonations to voice Red Skull.
Really?
Yeah. Which is fun. But yeah. So Red Skull, he was just hanging out on that planet, being like, "I once sought the Infinity Stones, and I can't get them anymore. But I can only guide people to this stone," or something like that.
Yeah, that blew me away that they brought back Red Skull.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then this is the first moment that kind of hits the heartstrings, because it's the Soul Stone, and Red Skull is like, "Well, you gotta sacrifice a soul to get the Soul Stone."
Yeah,
and they're on this giant precipice. And Gamora's all like, "Ha ha ha! You don't love anybody, ha ha, sucker!"
Yeah.
And then he turns around and he's crying, and you're just like, "Oh no!"
I saw that coming. I'm like, "Okay, Gamora, you're dead.
You're so dead." And then, you know, he throws her off the cliff, and you're just like, "What?"
And I think something important is, in some movies, you don't see the person actually hitting the ground. This movie, they show you her dead.
On the ground,
dead, bleeding out. I think that's important to show, like, this movie is going to be different.
So, yeah, that moment was like, shoot.
Yeah.
And he gets the Soul Stone after that. And then the rest of our heroes. So Tony and Spider-Man rescue Doctor Strange. With a pop culture reference.
Oh, it was with Footloose, right?
No, Alien.
Oh, right, right. Oh,
Aliens.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because they mentioned Footloose later.
They do that later.
Yeah, they mentioned Alien first. You're right. That's how they save. Yes.
They suck him into space. It's really funny.
Yep.
Because Spider-Man keeps doing that.
He's like, oh, that old movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to say really quick, I don't call those movies that old.
I know, but he's supposed to be playing this teenager.
But
so.
Like, yeah, okay. But I'm only 22, you know? I did. All right. It's whatever. It's all right. He is only supposed to be like 16 in this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just a funny moment. And Tony's like, all right, no more pop culture references.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can't afford it. They rescue Doctor Strange, and then they decide, wouldn't it be great if we just followed this thing to Titan to fight Thanos on his turf?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
It
right?
makes total sense. No, it doesn't.
I was like, what are you guys doing?
That's a terrible idea.
They had no other options, though.
So they go to Titan and they run into the Guardians, what's left of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So Drax, Mantis, Star-Lord.
Yep.
And they run into them and they have a little altercation because they don't know who each other are.
Yeah, so they start fighting. And
it's really funny to watch.
And they're all at gunpoint. They're like, no, I'll shoot if you shoot.
He's blah, like, blah, blah. Oh, you shoot my guy, shoot you, right? Yeah. And then Drax is like, I can take it. And Dr. Strange is like, no, you can't.
And then Star-Lord is like, you can't.
And Star-Lord's like, where's Gamora? And he's like, okay. And Tony's like, who's Gamora? And Drax's like, I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora? Yeah. And it makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh, my. See, Drax.
But then
Drax.
They all realize they're on the same side, and it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Tony's like, all right, I'll make the plan. And then Star-Lord's all like, you know, these guys, winging it isn't really, not winging it's not what they do.
Yeah.
It's just like really weird.
Yeah, they're not about the whole plan idea. And eventually the Guardians went with it. And
yeah,
it would have worked. It really would have worked.
It would have worked, but then Star-Lord's emotions got in the way.
Yeah, when they're pulling off the gauntlet, when Spider-Man and Tony were pulling it off, I think they had Drax pulling it off too, while Mantis was, you know, was casting the spell,
subduing
Thanos. She was like saying, "Oh, he's feeling sad,"
and Nebula showed up at that point too.
Yeah, and then, you know, Star-Lord's like, "What? Where's Gamora?" And then eventually
they put the points together. You know?
Yeah, and then
he blows the whole thing.
Yep.
What's important to note is that during the planning process, Doctor Strange uses the Time Stone to see all the 14,600,000 possible futures.
Yep.
In which case, only one of them wins. I think that is an important detail for the next one.
Totally, that's the one we're gonna see.
It's kind of like we'll get to it later, but it's just like it's like a losing the battle to win the war kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that all goes sideways. The fight is really cool. Like Thanos throws a moon on Iron Man, which was nuts.
Yeah, that was scary.
I did see a criticism that some people were like, "Well, what does the Soul Stone even do? He like never used it. Wrong, he used it twice. When Doctor Strange duplicated himself, he used it to reveal which one is real Doctor Strange, because he like shifted into his astral form for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then the second time, he like turns a bunch of something into a lot of bats that attacked Iron Man, which was strange.
Okay.
So that's the only two times I did actually see him use the Soul Stone.
But I mean, that's so important. It didn't make him visibly more stronger.
Yeah, that
stronger,
too.
Not more strong, just stronger.
And that was a crazy fight. And then probably I saw it twice. The one thing that remained consistent is that both times when Iron Man gets stabbed, the whole theater just goes,
dead silence.
Because,
you know, Iron Man's one of those guys that you could die. He's been around long enough. He's too expensive. Yada, yada. He wants out. You see him get stabbed. Like, because his suit's getting all torn up. He has no helmet anymore. He's deflecting hits with his arms.
Yeah.
And, like, it's you see so much bare skin. His suit's just not working anymore. And then stab. And I'm like,
that was so horrifying. And then, of course, that's when Doctor Strange trades the Time Stone for his life.
Yeah.
Which is the key point.
Yeah.
For some reason, the only way they win is if Tony lives.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
I think it makes it interesting because it's been 10 years since the first one, makes it kind of nostalgic.
So backtracking a little bit,
yes,
all of our heroes on Earth, they go to Wakanda because it's the strongest location on the planet.
Can we first just say, like, where was the military? I understand, like, some of these guys are kind of considered terrorists at this point. But, I mean, they're not nearly as bad.
Well,
if
you really want to know, back in 2012 when the first Avengers came out, basically the military wouldn't sign a contract to be in these films.
Really?
Yeah. That's basically it.
That's so lame. Why? Why?
I don't know.
I could say so much, but I will hold my tongue.
So they all go to the Wakanda, have a little powwow with Bucky and Black Panther, which is awesome. And Cap and Bucky get reunited, which is super awesome.
Yeah.
Back in space, though, we kind of lost track of Thor here.
Yeah, we should probably...
Thor, Groot, and Rocket, they go to a place I cannot pronounce, but we've heard of it over and over when talking about Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. This is the place where it was forged, the heart of a dying star. It's a real thing.
Yep.
And just getting to see that is really cool. And basically, it's just like this kind of space station-y thing. It's just basically a giant space forge. Mm-hmm. And it's run by these dwarves. And they go there and they find out that Thanos was there and he made the dwarves build him the Infinity Gauntlet, which makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then he killed all of them but one, played by Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And when I say dwarves, cool. I mean they're dwarvish, but they're actually giants, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to realize that the only reason that Thor and Rocket go there is to make a new hammer.
Yeah.
Or a new weapon for Thor.
Exactly.
He's like, if I get my new weapon, I'll be able to defeat Thanos.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, okay, anyway, yeah.
And so they go there and they meet him, and then they're like, yeah, we got to get the forge working again. And Groot has an interesting arc just because he's Teen Groot right now, and all he's doing is playing that little Game Boy or whatever.
Angsty. He's even playing it when he walks in the facility, just walking around like dead bodies and whatnot. I don't know if there are any. I don't remember.
I don't know.
There's a lot of destruction. Yeah. He's walking through it like nothing.
And so they got... The dwarf is like, where was Asgard? And he's like, well, Asgard got blowed up, so that's what's up.
Yeah.
Which is probably the reason why Thanos is even able to go there to make the gauntlet in the first place, because all that happened.
It all connects.
Yeah. And so, basically, Thor has to really run the gauntlet for this one, because he has to open the valve to for the star to heat the metal, and he just takes that all on, and it's nuts.
Boy, when he got his new axe.
Axe hammer. It's called Stormbreaker, which...
Stormbreaker.
In the comics, here we go, a little nugget.
Yeah.
It's the weapon they give this, like, horse alien Beta Ray Bill in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I doubt they'll go that far.
No.
But yeah, it's a fun little nod. And so, and what's fun about the Stormbreaker itself is that Groot, like, finally snaps out of it and, like, uses his own branches to make the handle.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
I don't know how long that would really last, but
magic hammers, man.
You're right, magic hammers. It'll
work. The blacksmith mentions that this hammer has the ability to control the Bifrost, which is that magical Asgard teleporter.
Ooh.
So that's important.
That's a big deal.
That's important later. So the big criticism is that Thor, Groot, and Rocket got shafted with this side quest.
It's
an almost 3-hour movie. And my only pushback on that would be, it pays off really well.
Okay. Anybody who's saying that, I'm sorry, you're exactly right. It does pay off so well.
And
let me tell you.
The other thing I was going to say is that in the movie of such high intensity as this, it's kind of nice to just take a step back for a minute and have a breather.
And that's actually very strategic. You're not supposed, like, if it was just like bam, 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 the audience would be a little too exhausted, a little too kind of overwhelmed. I think it's good to show this kind of, you know, not as intense side story, because it's still important. I mean, it's nice. It's rewarding when you get to see the payoff at the end. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, you went through all that, you know, that boring side mission to get this awesome weapon that he is, you know, completely controlling the situation on Earth with.
So it's also important to note that Rocket gets Thor a new eye.
Yeah, that was funny.
So he doesn't have to wear that eye patch anymore, which I'm sure Chris Hemsworth was happy about. But he does have to wear contacts, though.
Yeah.
Like, I love Chris Hemsworth. He's like, clearly, he keeps pushing, man.
Yeah.
And they keep pushing back. He's like, I don't want to wear this wig anymore. Well, you're getting an eye patch. I don't want to wear this eye patch anymore. Well, you're going to have to wear this contact.
Yep.
You know, it's just really funny when you think about it that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So back on Earth, they all meet up in Wakanda, and then the Black Order comes back around with, like, a giant army of vicious space dog things.
Those things looked terrifying.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was awesome.
And so, and you know, the Wakandans are there, and Mbaku's there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Okoye's there, and Shuri's there, and it's all good stuff.
Yep.
And so they're all prepped for this battle. They put Banner in the Hulkbuster armor because the Hulk refuses to transform right now because his confidence was shattered when Thanos just beat him into the ground. So that's the interesting arc for him, which I am really enjoying right now.
I'm starting to see that Banner and Hulk are one. I think in past films you kind of see them separate.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to become one.
Exactly.
And I think that's the conflict in Thor Ragnarok, because Banner was scared that if he transformed any like one more time, he wouldn't be able to change back.
Which clearly he was able to.
but now it's like he's repressing his other form, and when he's saying to himself, "No, I don't want to change," that's like him. I refuse to believe that there's like two brains in there. It's still the same brain. I think it's just senile and crazy, and like that's, and his brain is starting to, I think, have more control, but he's also losing it.
Only major critique I have, and this is saying something, because out of this whole film, I only have one critique.
Okay.
Is that the graphics for putting Banner in the Hulkbuster look terribly unfinished.
Like the CGI for the Hulkbuster?
Not the Hulkbuster itself, but like when the helmet was opened, it was just like his head was floating in this weird void. It looked bad.
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, just there's only two scenes where his helmet's open. Look for him, and it's weird. I'll tell you that. So the big battle happens, and they're like, okay, they're going to flank us, so what do we do about it? Because they have this impenetrable shield. They're just like, let's just open the shield. It'll be fine.
well, they said that so that aliens wouldn't surround.
Yeah, so, and what is even happening here is that they're trying to extract the Mind Stone while also saving Vision.
Yeah.
That's what Shuri's up to back in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does not end well.
Not
so this massive battle happens, and it's awesome to see Captain America and Black Panther fighting next to each other, and all these other characters, Black Widow and Okoye, get along.
Yeah.
And so Scarlet Witch is just there to guard Vision, but then things get really crazy, and so she has to step in, and then this other guy, one of the Black Order, sneaks in the back, and he attacks Vision before Shuri can pull the Mind Stone out. And things just really go downhill from here.
Yeah, it's
just a massive battle. It's chaos everywhere.
It honestly went down when Doctor Strange gave up his Time Stone.
Back on Titan, Doctor Strange gave the Time Stone to Thanos, and then Thanos leaves.
Yeah, I think that was the moment where that was it.
That was it, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so back on Earth, they're all trying to save Vision. And then Vision finally tells Scarlet Witch just to blow it up. To use her powers, blow up the Mind Stone, and that way Thanos doesn't win.
Because you love me, you will do this.
Mm-hmm.
Parallel to Gamora and Star-Lord.
Exactly.
Whether it works, we'll get to it.
And then Thanos shows up, and he has 5 of 6 stones at this point, and you're just like, oh, darn.
Yeah.
Like, I love this. One thing I love about this movie is the audio, because just the use of like silence in this film, especially towards the end, gets so prevalent. So like when Thanos appears, it's just like quiet and it's horrifying. God,
right. I'm getting chills.
And then
I'm getting chills.
At this point, all the Black Order are dead. They killed all of them.
Oh jeez.
And then Thanos shows up and he's got the stones and he just killed his favorite daughter or whatever.
He's a
bad man. Beat the Guardians. Doctor Strange and Tony and Spider-Man, and they don't even know about that.
Yeah, they're oblivious to what they're doing. They never even question where's Tony Stark. They never questioned anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Vision and Scarlet do see him, see the missing, they see the news about Tony Stark missing.
They know Tony's missing. And so, and then they all kind of just like take their shot at Thanos, and he just
it's so desperate.
He just like tosses them aside, basically.
I remember just from seeing Black Panther being flung like nothing.
Yeah. He nails Falcon, he nails War Machine,
Captain America.
The Captain America was awesome, though.
It was. He was screaming like, ah!
And then he just punches him, and you're like,
oh dear, is he gonna?
I really thought he might have bought it there.
Yeah,
but he didn't.
Of course
and then.
Not.
And then let's just talk about how powerful Scarlet Witch really is, because she's like blasting the time stone and holding Thanos back at the same time, and then she blows it up.
Yeah.
Vision dies, and then he's all like, well, I respect what you did there, but reverse.
Yeah.
and then Vision comes back, and he's like,
whoa.
And then he just rips it from his head. So Vision gets the short straw for dying twice in this film.
He dies twice, brutally. And then just he sees things, and then black.
And you know, we kept saying we were going to talk about it, and then we forgot it. Thor showed up during the battle. He brought Groot and Rocket with him.
He
uses the Bifrost thing, and he shows up.
Yes.
And Banner's like, you guys are so screwed. And then he's just like, bring me Thanos.
Yeah.
And I really wanted Immigrant Song to come back
up. Oh, my God.
I wanted it so bad, but they didn't do it. And then he's just like, boom. He's just slaying everything.
He was like... not holding back. He was mad. He came back. He was hungry. He wanted Thanos' blood. He's like, it's time. Bring it. And then he just swipes through everybody.
It's so awesome. And speaking of blood, it's good to point out that back on Titan, Tony did make him bleed. And he's like, all that effort for a drop of blood.
Oh, yeah.
And then he stabs him. But, you
know? Yeah.
So that was really cool. And so, so Thor did show back up. So right after, he gets the sixth stone. And then, boom!
Yeah.
Giant axe hammer in the chest. And you're just like, yes!
And then Thanos is like, if you wanted to kill me, you should have aimed for my head.
And then, snap! And then everything, the white screen... and you're just like, oh, no.
And then Thor's like, what have you done?
And then he just leaves. And he uses the space stone, and he runs away. And you're just like, oh, no. What is going to happen during the next 5 minutes? It's just horrifying. It is pure and simple. It is horrifying to watch.
I'm getting chills, my friend.
It is absolutely, because the first person that goes is Bucky.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Captain America and Bucky have this awesome relationship. They've gone through so much together over 100 years, basically.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Cap, what's going on? And then, boom, he just disappears, turns to ash. And then Captain America, like, kneels down and, touches the ground where his friend once stood. And you're just like, oh.
And then you think that's not
and
it.
It doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Back on Titan, Drax... Mantis, Doctor Strange, Star-Lord, and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
If you weren't crying already,
gosh.
As Spider-Man, because Tom Holland gets an A-plus for acting.
I teared up. I was scared.
I cried the second time.
Because I've been, you know how I have been, in our reviews in the past. Like, there are no stakes, blah. I'm always crying about that, right?
Well, the stakes were half the universe.
Yeah, and then when I actually see this movie... I'm scared. I'm scared because Tom Holland pulled it off so well.
Yeah.
He was like, Tony, I don't want to die like this. It hurts so bad. And he's like holding on to Tony, and Tony's
then,
like,
and
I don't know what to do.
And then he turns to ash.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking. That was
In the film, right before Thanos goes to Earth, Star-Lord just like goes crazy shooting at him, and then he escapes, and then Star-Lord's just like, did we just lose? And he's like, yeah, you did, buddy, because you just turned to ash.
Yep.
And back on Earth, Scarlet Witch goes, Falcon goes, Black Panther goes, and Groot goes. Groot yep. also is tough because Rocket's like there, right yep. there. He's like Groot, and he's like, ah, I'm Groot.
Yep. Goodbye.
And he's like, oh my, I cannot handle this film right now.
Yeah. So we are left with the original Avengers and Rocket
and War Machine
and Nebula.
And Nebula. So yeah, let's just discuss that for a bit. Tony Stark and Nebula are stuck on another planet yeah. by themselves.
So I'm convinced. We'll get to that. I'm convinced that Tony is gonna like get some Alienware, and he's gonna make a new Iron Man suit that's gonna be
off the chain.
Because Nebula's like, I got you. We're gonna go kill my dad. I got yeah. you. And then they go. I just see it happening. It's gonna be extraordinary. I just don't know how they're gonna come back to Earth.
Yeah, for real.
But I mean, I know that's more for speculation. But anyway, back to like the review part. Yeah, like they are stranded there. They're stranded on this planet.
And back on Earth, War Machine asks Cap. He's like, Cap, what is this? And then his only response is, oh God.
Yeah.
And you're just like, shoot.
Yeah.
And this whole sequence is completely silent. Like, no music, no nothing. It's just the talking. And it's just like completely horrifying to watch.
Yeah. And then we get do we have one or two? Before we get to that. Yeah.
And then at the very end, you just see Thanos sitting down, smiling. He smiles at the end of this movie.
He has his field. I'm pretty sure in the comic books he has a farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's smiling, looking out the horizon.
They pulled that shot from the comics as well.
Yeah, and then then it cuts to black, right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then that's it. And then it's like silent credit roll, and then like the Infinity War title smokes away.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the rest of the credits, and which we'll talk about. Yeah. I guess we could talk about right now.
I think we should just talk about
post-credit scene. We see Nick Fury and Agent Hill
yep.
in the car together, and they're talking, and it's really easy to miss because at this point the whole audience is shocked.
Yeah.
But it's easy. I caught it better the second time. There's this line of dialogue where they're talking about where they want to meet Clint.
Oh, yeah.
As in Clint Barton, a.k.a. Yep. Hawkeye. And then other car wrecks into him. They get out, and they see a helicopter crashing into the building, and then other people just turning into dust. And then Agent Hill turns into dust, and then Fury runs to the van.
He grabs a pager. He grabs a pager.
And then he starts turning into
dust. And then he's like, Mother!
Yeah, in true Samuel Jackson fashion.
Yep, and then he drops the pager as he turns to dust,
and then it's the Captain Marvel logo,
and then that's it.
And that's it. So,
chills,
so many chills. Lots of stuff happens in this film for sure. And thinking about it later, it's like we had 18 Marvel movies where the good guys have won. 18 films, and then number 19 comes in and the bad guy wins, and you're just like, what is this?
A good film.
And that's the problem.
Yeah,
it's a freakishly good film.
Yeah,
if you've invested all this time into everything thus far, it is such a good movie, and then it ends that way, and you're just like,
whoa. What's going to happen? And I think
we have to wait a year to see what happens.
I think what's nice, you know, I think this year, I don't know if it's just different because I haven't had that much time to really research as much, but it's nice not knowing what the sequels are going to entail, like with Star Wars. I don't know what's going to happen in the ninth one. I'm not trying to change topics. I don't know what's going to happen there. I have predictions, but I really just don't know where it's going. Clean slate there.
Yeah.
Same with this movie. I mean, I could read the comics to get an idea, but there's still a lot of freedom to really do whatever the Rooster Brothers want to do. So I'm happy that I am completely in the dark. I don't know that all these characters are fine. I don't know what they're going to do within this next year. And I'm really excited about that. I like to kind of ponder that and see what else is going to happen off screen that's going to really affect what happens on screen next.
And, you know, obviously, all the characters that turn to dust, they're all coming back. They have movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like to let that influence the fact that it's still horrifying to watch.
It was definitely horrifying because
you
could just Tom Holland's part. Really, that shocked me.
I cried.
Yeah.
The second time. Like, seeing it the second time was, like, worse because I knew it was coming.
Yeah. I just didn't think, you know, I know I'm a Spider-Man fanboy, but then, like, seeing him die in Tony's arms, like, oh, my.
Yeah,
it's kind of it messed with me, man. It did. I thought Star Lord and Gamora were gonna do it for me, but that's
yeah,
the
I know,
one.
Right? Like, yeah. And so here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Just from looking at a bunch of stuff online.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with the consensus that it's the characters left over we should really be worried about in the next.
You
film.
Know, completely.
I am almost 100% sure. Almost at least half of them. At least half the original Avengers are dying in the next film, trying to fix what happened in this film.
I could see it. I could see Black Widow going.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
I think Iron Man is going to die for sure.
Probably. It's interesting they left War Machine. I mean, he's been there since the beginning, but he wasn't really part of the original Avengers.
He might be one of those guys that stays around to tell the story for later.
Yeah.
I mean, I like completely honest. True, he true. Might be able to... kind of take over from wherever Iron Man leaves off. I mean, wherever Tony Stark leaves off.
So
potentially, this is all speculation.
Absolutely,
now. It's exciting.
So the last thing I really wanted to talk about though was the villain Thanos.
Yeah.
So historically, the MCU has had a villain problem up until like the last like three or four films.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Killmonger was great. Vulture was great. Hela was great. I also love Zemo as well.
They took some good criticism, I think, and,
Loki,
and they've
too.
Done a they've done a good job correcting some issues.
And then they just bust out with Thanos, which we know nothing. Which until this film, we knew really nothing about, other than he was this huge, vague villain out in the universe, influencing everything that's been happening. And then boom, he shows up, and this is very much a Thanos-driven movie. Like,
yeah,
like the other characters are in it. But this is movie's basically about Thanos.
He had his own story arc going on. And
exactly.
You get to see that he was a colonizer and a decolonizer, and he destroyed, you know, entire civilizations, and he's a ruthless dude. He's a scary guy, and but he also has reasons for doing what he is doing.
Exactly.
And they make sense. They're not perfect ideas.
They're not
they're
great, but
but
yeah. So it's like they give us his reasons for why he's going through all this craziness, why he killed his own daughter, all that stuff.
At the
very end, he sees like this vision of young Gamora, and she like asks him, like, what did it cost or whatever, and he's like, everything. And you're just like,
gosh, that was like, amazing.
He killed half the universe. Why do I feel sorry for him?
But I mean, and like his idea about this balance that we need.
Yeah.
I get it, but at what cost?
Exactly.
But also, like, what's the cost? Like, if he knows the universe needs balanced, what else is out there? Somebody said online, like, what else is out there that is causing him to do this?
Yeah.
You know,
real.
Like, why is he, what is his, who else is out there, like, telling him these things that there are things, the universe needs to be balanced? There's some speculation that there's another big baddie for the next one. It's not going to be Thanos.
Well, it says Thanos will return, so whatever that means.
Oh, of course. You know, Thanos will return in some form. I know he'll be there, but I also think that we could get somebody else.
And let's just talk about the man behind the CGI mask, Josh Brolin.
Great job, dude.
Yeah,
for real.
For real.
He's taken over Marvel
like,
the past
like
year and a half.
This is like Josh Brolin's year.
It is. He,
like, he
came in
Thanos,
here.
He does Cable in a few weeks, and he's also in the Sicario sequel coming out this summer.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. This is the Josh Brolin year.
Good for that guy. He's a great actor. So
year of the Brolin.
Year of the Brolin. Yeah. Change his last name to the actual Brolin. B-R-A-W-L.
So, yeah, definitely a ruthless villain, and honestly, probably my favorite one in the MCU.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
all
that build-up paid off.
Yeah, he's entertaining to watch, you know? I feel... not like I'm not rooting for him, but I like seeing him give these characters a hard time, because I like seeing them actually struggle. I think it's something we don't, like you said, we don't get to see a lot of. Yeah, it's usually like a one-and-done. This one's a... this is a... long
it's a two-part. This is the phrase I've been hearing around the internet is this is the Lord of the Rings of the MCU.
it is without a part three.
Yeah, without a part
well
three,
I guess you
sure.
can you could say that Avengers 1 and 2 and then is one movie and this could be
the slate for the MCU is pretty light for the next year. Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out this summer, and I saw the new trailer.
Me too. Me too.
It's really interesting. We're not going to talk about it, but it's interesting.
All I want to say about it, I won't talk about the trailer. All I just want to say is I'm more interested now in what Ant-Man and the Wasp are up to, especially now that I think we're getting the idea this takes place after Infinity War.
If it's after, I'm not completely sold on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I know that during some advertising on Twitter, they took the cast of Infinity War and asked them all the same question. Where is Ant-Man?
I did see that. That was funny.
And that makes me question, what is Ant-Man doing? Is it going to actually have any importance to the rest of it? We know for sure that Hawkeye is going to be a big deal going forward here.
Since you brought up Hawkeye.
Yeah.
My prediction for the opening of Avengers 4 is his entire family turning to dust.
No, I don't know. I think if anybody's going to die, like turn to dust, it'd have to be him. But I feel like they're going to, honestly, like, if we're going to go, like, predictions, and that's fine. You can have I respect your idea.
I just feel like it'd just be a nice punch to the gut reminding us how the last one ended.
And yeah.
That'd bring Hawkeye back in a big way.
That would be true.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. I think that he's more on a track to figure out something else that we don't know yet, because he's talking to Nick Fury again. He's on some secret mission. So Hawkeye's doing something important. I want to know what he's doing.
Yeah. There was one important bit of dialogue we kind of glazed over, which was they do mention where Hawkeye and Ant-Man were. They took a deal with the government and were under house arrest. So
that's it. But then at the very end, though, when Nick Fury mentions where are we going to meet up with Hawkeye, that makes me wonder, like, okay, what are they talking about? There's got to be something going on. So it makes me wonder, are we going to, you know, start the next one off with Captain Marvel and Hawkeye? I think that makes the most sense with one of those two characters considering.
Yeah, because the next movie after Ant-Man and the Wasp is Captain Marvel coming out in March, which is going to be an origin story for that character.
Yeah.
Takes place in the 90s. Phil Coulson's coming back, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see that film and what they do with it, and answering the big question, where has Captain Marvel been this entire time?
I think it's also cool, like, this is the point in the big MCU story where it's like, you have to go back in time to learn some things. So, like, we're going to learn a little bit more about Captain Marvel and her backstory and
where that pager came from.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And so, like, she's the one to save the universe, you know, and take care of things. But, like, how? And it's kind of like, have you ever heard of, I know I'm talking about Star Wars, but you know that the Machete Order?
No.
It's where you watch episode 4, 5, and then you go back and watch 1, 2, and 3. And then end on 6. It's before Force Awakens. And it's kind of like to, like, you know, now you know the mystery, but now you get to know why with the prequels, and then go back to episode 6 and get that redemption.
Okay. Yeah.
So it'd be kind of cool to see, are we going to learn anything new by going back in time? And no, it's not really a prequel, but it would just be kind of cool to definitely step back from the current state of the MCU and go back to the 90s, I guess.
Yeah. So.
I'm excited. I'm more excited for Captain Marvel
this
now.
This next year is going to be interesting, and I hope I don't die.
Yeah, me too. I'm also going to try to avoid any kind of spoilers for the new Spider-Man movie, because they're going to start shooting this summer. So I don't know how they're going to go about spoiling or avoiding spoilers for Avengers 4.
I don't know, man. They did a great job keeping this one under lock and key.
And,
so.
And Kevin Feige even said that the next Spider-Man takes place right after Avengers 4. So he really doesn't care about that. Like, he's basically confirmed, like, you know, he comes back. He doesn't really seem to care. So that is obviously not a spoiler for anybody. So I'm interested to see, like, what are the spoilers that we don't know? Of course, I'm just speculating now. I need to see this movie again to really kind of dissect it.
I'm probably going to see it again.
Yeah.
That'll be 3 times, but I'll probably do it.
I need to see this movie in IMAX. Maybe IMAX 3D, but I just know IMAX for sure.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thanks for coming on here with me, Matt.
Dude, my pleasure. Anytime.
And if you are really that curious, we did an old project back in the day called Ace and Tree. That's on YouTube. There's some good giggles in there.
There are. We did that for what, 2 years? Yeah, about 2 years.
Something like that.
And you could. It was nice to see how we really kind of made the show over time and how it got actually got pretty decent by the end. We were like, we were really crisp there. I was like, all right, look at that.
So there it is. Yeah. So yeah, this is Sims Central. I'm DJ Ace. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, and you can look me up on Facebook. It's the / DJ ACC. I'm pretty sure that's the address to the page, which you should follow, because that's where I post all these things first. So that being said, be nice to each other, don't spoil this movie, and have a good week.
Booyah.